Reward your customers with Referred. You have a D2C business with an app, and you want to grow through referrals. And that's where Referred comes in. Referred installs in minutes and includes all the rewards you could ever need. Customize the rewards to fit your brand and change the look so it fits your interface perfectly. Oh, and it's completely free. Head to tryreferred.com to find out more. That's TryReferred.com.
If you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. Throughout my career, I've always been very curious. I've always tried to reach out to companies, and that meant always being surrounded by people who could inspire me. So having people that might know a little bit more about product marketing or customer insights. So always be very hungry for learning.
Hello, my name is Lauren D'Souza, and you're listening to Retain, the Customer Retention Podcast. More and more companies are wanting to focus on retaining customers, but what exactly are the powers of customer retention? And how are companies using it to keep their customers coming back for more? That's what we're here to find out.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Joining us today is Giovanni Zacchia. Giovanni is an experienced growth marketing lead specializing in high-growth tech companies and mobile-first businesses. Giovanni has vast experience leading CRM at companies such as Airbnb, Olio, Miro, and Hotel Tonight. Giovanni, thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. I am excited for our conversation today. I feel like you have so much, such a great breadth and depth of experience over all these different companies you've worked at and saw so many different things. So I'm excited that you're joining me today. But I'd love to start out with getting to know a little bit more about your background. So maybe you could tell us about your early career and how you got into CRM leadership roles.
Yeah, sure. After I finished my studies, I flew to London, joined Hotel Tonight. And I did that with an app for last minute booking. And at the time, they were expanding the international market. And so I actually joined as a sales and account manager, so nothing to deal with CRM, but I was helping them grow the inventory in Italy. So signing hotel in the market. And so I would say it was like a CRM type of work, because I had to understand what are the difficulties of these hotels, how can I alleviate their problem by offering them a new platform where they could sell last minute rooms to users that mostly use mobile devices. But actually for them was a way to expand like the reach of customers. So of course, on one hand, you have the technology that you have to adopt, like for a much traditional industry. But it was a very exciting time when I was at Hotel Tonight. And from there, essentially what happened that Hotel Tonight is a San Francisco-based company, so they weren't actually investing a lot in marketing in international. So even here, it was myself coming up and saying, hey, I have a degree in marketing. I can help you with some activities for the international segment. So we started by doing a small campaign, CRM, within our international market. And so that was essentially my first real CRM job. So we started the opportunity, we did a few tasks to start with. And then we decided to essentially have a function of CRM for international. And that's what I started my career in CRM. Then from there, essentially, I had the opportunity to grow and a more leader position and own the whole global CRM program for Hotel Tonight. From London, of course, I was traveling every 2 months. That was the headquarters. It was a fun time, a lot of travel. But of course, most of the functions were still in San Francisco while I was in London. And so it was a very exciting time. And I would say another very pivotal moment of that experience was when Hotel Tonight got acquired by Airbnb. We became part of the bigger family of Airbnb. And throughout that time, I still focused on the Hotel Tonight brand. But of course, we had many opportunities to collaborate with the Airbnb team. And that was extremely exciting. And then after, I think it was already like 6 years or more in the hospitality industry, I finally took a little risk and say, hey, I want to see what's going on outside this industry. And so I learned a lot what's concerning CRM.
That is super cool. And I think that's the tone and the foundation for our entire conversation today, because clearly from everything that you've said, you've had these different experiences in the CRM-based roles so that you can learn it with different types of users, different types of strategies. And I think that's really interesting because I think these things are going to be unique no matter what company you're in or what industry you're in, but you've actually had quite an experience there. And I think one thing that our listeners would find really interesting, I know I definitely would, is the fact that you've worked at some very well-known and large-scale tech companies as well, obviously one of them being Airbnb, which also must have been even more interesting being part of an acquisition versus the company itself even. I'm curious to know, at your time with Airbnb when they acquired Hotel Tonight, what was it like when you joined and how did you help them? And did you see any really interesting retention strategies at Airbnb?
Yeah, as I said, I think that was probably the most exciting time of my career. It doesn't happen that often that a company such as Airbnb would acquire the most part of your work. And I think, first of all, the acquisition, it really made sense at the beginning. When they did that in 2019, Airbnb actually wanted to expand a little bit the type of accommodations that they would offer. And the hotel segment was something that they were very interested in. And so they wanted to acquire a company that had skills within the sector, but also would align with the values of Airbnb and the type of product. So I think both Airbnb and Hotel Tonight are two companies that has really invested into the customer experience and the design of the product. Hotel Tonight is probably the best app to book a hotel. Take three taps. It gives the best user experience when you want to look for an accommodation. So they really saw the opportunity there. And so at the beginning with the acquisition, the bigger project was to actually launch Airbnb Hotel. That was prior to COVID. So you can still find a few hotels actually on Airbnb, but the way you book a hotel is a little bit different than what you book when you book a home or a room. So they wanted to have a page for hotels that was a little bit different, that would really have a different experience for the customers in that sense. So that was the bigger project. But how CRM actually was involved was another project, which is Airbnb actually lacked of accommodation in the last minute sector. So sometimes you don't find someone that could check you in the same day, especially in big cities. So we actually had a big project into integrating our inventory with their inventory. We actually started with emails. So whenever you were browsing a city on Airbnb for the same night and they didn't have enough hotels, we would integrate that email with hotels from Hotel Tonight. That was a fun way of leveraging really both of our product and seeing really good return into conversion. And also, of course, Hotel Tonight was a way to expand our brand awareness.
That's actually really cool. And I think it's so important too, because booking hotels and these days as a customer or a consumer, it's an exciting thing. It's something that I look forward to. It's an experience I'm doing. So I want the experience to reflect that. And so you're so right of how you said that. I haven't actually used Hotel Tonight myself, but I've used Airbnb. And one of my favorite things about using the app itself, which is why I'll choose it over other booking sites, is the actual booking experience itself, because it's so intuitive, it's seamless. And then even the Airbnb experiences, I found multiple different things that I really enjoy on there. And even just getting these personalized recommendations, because they knew that I enjoyed this cooking class and I got a recommendation for a private chef dinner that I could do another time. And I think it's so interesting that you got to experience that on the other side, because you can really see how important that is, how much impact it made. So I can imagine that'd be really interesting to be the lead on. So very cool. I'm also curious to know, what do you think are some of the greatest challenges of working in CRM in the current landscape that you're seeing?
I think one of the biggest challenges with CRM is to kind of like always be up to date with the new technologies. I think it's very easy to stick to what you know and how you run a CRM campaign and what you have to do. But I think more and more recently, we have way more tools, way more technologies that we can leverage, thinking about AI or thinking about segmentations. Like, I think there are so many additional tools that CRM leaders should be aware of. So I think in some companies, the challenge has always been digging up and showing to leaders how important it is to invest in CRM, to have the most advanced tooling for CRM and not just the basic one, because they can actually improve the user experience by offering more personalized campaigns, for example, or having more advanced segmentation and creating better cohorts and having more better profiling of our customers. So I think the challenge for some companies is really putting the investment in this type of new technology.
Yeah. I definitely think that there's a lot of noise out there. It can be overwhelming sometimes, because the fact is there's so much out there. There's so many things you can use, which is both a blessing and a curse at the same time, depending on how much there is for you to be using. And I guess something that you're consistently focused on is the idea of personalization, because you've actually mentioned a couple of times already, which is super important, because even as I just said that I care about when I get a personalized recommendation and my thought goes so much farther that way. I'm curious how you think personalization has impacted customer retention, because obviously you've experienced it. Aside from those really fun and iterative campaigns that you've been working on, how do you think it's impacted customer retention as a whole?
I think in general, definitely had a huge impact, because by the time you start tracking what users are doing on your app and you have all this data in your hand, you can really start building tailored communication, but even tailored pathways for specific customers. And I think personalization also comes to creating those type of cohorts and understanding other I could identify the travel industry, my weekenders bookers. I'm going to have a whole different pathways for this type of customers that is more personal, because I know that you're going to use my platform to book it. Whereas you might be a travel business travel customers in your weekday, that can have a whole different pathway of communication to retain you, because I know how you're going to use my platform more and more. So I think, yeah, it doesn't always limit to this single campaign where I'm going to personalize some elements to it, but it's really more trying to understand the way you're going to use the platform. And sometimes we're doing a lot of surveys to our customers or quizzes, and using that data to start clustering and targeting them with specific campaign, right? If you start clicking hotels with a pool, then I'm going to retarget you with a campaign full on hotels with a pool, because you like that feature.
Part of that all comes down to creating that dynamic content based on if customer A says this, that, whatever, then you're going to create a password, this, that, whatever. And I'm curious for yourself, from your experiences and what you know now based on these different roles that you've done, what kind of strategies would you recommend to increase customer engagement? Because I would say even for our listeners, they get all this wonderful advice on being able to do things like personalization and dynamic content, but having someone like yourself who's an expert in the space, what kind of strategies would you recommend as things that are best practices or things that work really well, or how to use dynamic content to increase that overall engagement?
I think dynamic content is something that I try to bring to all the companies that I start working for. And I think, again, it has a great opportunity, has a great value. And there are also like different degrees of dynamic content. I think you can start with first name. So having a full, complete email, completely dynamic. You can customize every single aspect of that email based on the customer data. So I think you have to understand where you want to start off. And usually my recommendation is start something small. Start with an hypothesis that you have in mind for a personalization, whether it's, what if I personalize the content, the hero image based on the location of the customer, if you're living in London versus somewhere else. And then sometimes even this type of dynamic content might take some investment, some resources. So I usually prefer start doing like a test, merely manual, just to prove that this type of test has some positivity. Measure the uplift and see what is your return. If you do have a positive impact, then I think it's the time that you can scale that type of testing to expand it to a greater segment. And then I think you can start building on top of this. as I said, you can always include more and more dynamic content. I can give you the example at Hotel Tonight, where the end that we had was essentially an email that was completely dynamic from start to finish. But what we started with was with destination, very basic. So what we did was picking a segment and seeing what destinations were mostly booking. And so putting them in the email manually, and if we had some uplift by showing something that is more personal to them, we did see the uplift. So then we started creating our web pages with all these destinations so we could dynamically grab all this information from the image, from the average price, and then we're then moving it to the email. And then we said, okay, how are we going to do it then with hotels if destination work? Then we started testing on hotels itself. And so showing hotels in those destinations, instead of showing the destination, you had a different hotel. And so that had a positive impact. So we went to the software engineers and asked them, hey, can we build an API to get all the hotel information so we could insert that information into our emails? And that was the first step. We had the API built, but it was very bare bones. We had just the hotel, the name, the image, and the price. And then as we were seeing again the opportunity, again, daily to have more information, we had amenities, we had reviews, we had categories. And at the end of the day, the outcome was an email that was completely personal to the user. Wow. We were building just one email, but we had probably a million versions of it on the ground. Because if you were opening, you would see hotel of the category that you mostly book nearby you because you like to book hotels nearby. Whereas I would see hotels maybe in the city that I traveled most recently with the amenities that I like.
That is awesome. And I really like your step-by-step approach because I think it's a much more feasible way to understand vibe. And it's almost like, okay, does this work? If yes, do this. If no, go back to the drawing board. I almost want to try it right now to see what I get.
Oh yeah, if you have Hotel Tonight, yeah, I hope they still have it. I think they do. But again, it was a long road because it took actually years to get to where we are. But it was just step-by-step. And every time by showing the impact that we had, we were able to actually put more resources into it.
No, that's really cool. I just did a quick search on it just to see what would come up. And I love the fact that when I search Hotel Tonight on Google, I'm based in Toronto right now. Mm-hmm. And the first thing is find a hotel tonight in Toronto and like the listing for Toronto, which again, very small little aspect of it, but it's so much better than seeing a location that I'm not in right now because I'm more likely to go to the one that says, oh, we know exactly where you're at. And the other thing that I know you mentioned when you were talking about your experiences and when you were working with Hotel Tonight all the way up till now is you commented a little bit on mobile first businesses. Now, I'm really curious about this because I'm curious to know what that kind of means or how businesses can use mobile technology to reach more customers because I'm sure there's some interesting aspects of that. So maybe you can touch on that a little bit.
Yeah, it's obvious to think that the mobile channel is almost like an essential channel that companies should invest in, right? I think I read recently that people spend between 3 to 4 hours every day on the phone. Some others more, some others less, but it feels like quite a lot of time. So it would be silly not to really invest on a mobile channel. I think when you start thinking about it, you have to think about an app or a mobile web even that needs to be a little bit different than your website. It needs to be simpler. It needs to be quick to use. People need to understand the value pretty quickly. When you're on the phone, you don't want to spend too much time to figure it out how the app uses. So it's very key to me to really let user experience the value as quickly as possible and as easy as possible. To say that if you download Hotel Tonight, you will see that you don't even need to sign up. You will land on the screen, see the hotel, immediately understand what great deals, what great hotels you have. And the user will just click, see the beautiful pictures, and then able to book really in 3 times. So again, try to give the experience of the cost to the customers as soon as possible, at least in the most simple way. Don't make it difficult, especially in the onboarding, because that will require time for their customers. Overall, I think delight and the surprise partner on your mobile channels. There are so many apps, right?
Yes.
So if you really wanna do that, you have to think about as a more different channel. than your website.
How would you go about building a customer journey based on that? Because surely based on what you just said, the fact that on the mobile app with Hotel Tonight, you can book in three taps alone, but then I'm sure the website or other forms might be different. So how do you build a customer journey based on mobile specifically?
So yeah, thinking about the customer journey on a mobile device, it's very important to understand the preferences of customers. So of course, here we have tons of apps, receive tons of push notifications already for maybe sometimes more meaningful apps, your messages, your family. And so when you start having your own app, you have to understand, when does my customer want to be contacted, especially when you send a push notification. And so that could mean having a preference center that allows them to define the frequency of push notifications and messages. Or I think in the future, near future, probably AI will be very useful in this case to predict when the user is more likely to use my app. And so I can nudge them a little bit before with a push notification. And so I think when you start including a mobile channel in your customer journey, always think about the customer preferences and how they interact with your app, how frequently they're going to use your app. And so you can better understand how frequent I'm going to use my channels. Because I think what, especially Hotel Tonight or even on Olde, which is app-based, you don't want them to disinstall your app. So be very careful, I think, when you start thinking about this channel.
I think that's such a great point, because I can easily tell you, as you were talking about this, I was thinking about how good and how bad it can be on both cases. And I can easily tell you there's multiple productivity apps that I've downloaded where I'm right away because the notifications come in at the wrong time. And it almost causes me more stress. And so I can definitely understand why that would be so important. But it's interesting thinking about when the right message is going to the right customer at the right time, because I think it can actually be very powerful. And I can even think of times myself when I become a very sticky user or very super user of a product because they've notified me about something at the perfect time where I was thinking, wow, they know exactly what I need in this moment. I'm happy to continue using products. So I think that's very interesting and a nice way to bring the whole conversation to a close about the different things that you've seen and the strategies that you recommend. It's been really insightful for that. But before I let you go, we just have a quick little lightning round that we always do just to have some fun questions and get to know you a little bit better. So I'm going to ask you three quick questions and then we'll end on a piece of advice just to close out our whole conversation today. Okay. So first question of the lightning round is, what brand do you think has enormous potential in terms of their marketability?
I think we haven't seen yet the full potential of TikTok. I'll put it this way. I think they've been great. They're growing enormously, and they're putting a lot of investment into their algorithm. Also them, they're becoming extremely personal, but I'm already seeing how they're trying to expand their product offering. I read, I think recently that they're going to launch their music service. That makes so much sense. How many new songs have you found out from TikTok?
The last ads to my library have all been from TikTok.
Yeah. Or how many songs got to the top of the chart because of TikTok and they were like released a few years ago. Right. So I think that is a great move, but I see even more potential to expand into even the travel industry. I got actually great inspiration from TikTok on places where to go, what to visit, what to see. Influencers will be key on this, but if I can have a full experience within the same platform, that's even better for me. Just one app that does all the things that I like, and app that actually knows me. They're actually starting to learn a lot about you by what you like, what you view. So I think the potential of this type of social media, I think, will be enormous.
All right. Second question. Is marketing more of an art or a science?
That's an interesting question. It actually speaks a lot to me because when I was at uni, I studied marketing and management for art and culture.
Okay, cool.
They actually had really art-focused courses, and then also management courses on the side on how I'm going to apply them. Getting back to your question, I think, marketing incorporates both elements. So a bit of art, a bit of science. Of course, art that you're talking about, the copy, the design, and the brand, and We mentioned also Airbnb, how focused has been on the design, on thinking about the whole customer experience and what I'm going to show to our customers. I think you cannot forget about the science, so the data, the research that you're going to do about your customers and grabbing their insights and then translating it into something that is more designed. That could be an experience in your app, or it could be an email, could be a push notification. So I think you always have to combine both of them. And that's also why I love marketing and retention management.
All right. Last but not least in the lightning round is, if you could have anyone as a marketing mentor, who would it be?
Interesting. Well, in this case, I'll give you an example from Italy. She's the most famous Italian influencer, I think, in the world. She's called Chiara Ferragni. And I followed her since really the beginning of her career. We actually went to the same university. Now she has 30 million following on Instagram. But the reality why I admire her is that she created a brand of herself, of her life. And now every partner that collaborates with her has such an impact. And the association with her name is so powerful. She even built a whole industry. Like, she has an e-commerce, she built a fashion brand. So I think why I admire her is that she got where she is today because she listened to her fan base. She selected the brand and partners that she really loves. She knows that her fan base will love. So again, listening to your customers is very key, so that you can offer something that they were actually like and engage with. But I think the other thing that I really admire from her is that she took a lot of risks. She hasn't done the usual influencer stuff. Like, she presented TV programs. She has a TV show about her life, and she shared a lot of difficult moments in her life. And so I think I translate that into, like, companies should take risks in general. Like, you cannot really live in your own bubble. Take a risk.
All right. Well, thank you for that. And just to close out, is there a piece of marketing or life advice that someone shared with you once that has always stayed with you?
Yes, actually, it's coming from one of my professors at uni. I don't remember exactly the word, but I'll tell you what I remember. And it says, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. So it really stuck to me the whole time. You saw that throughout my career, I've always been very curious. I've always been trying to reach out to companies. And that meant always being surrounded by people who could inspire me and really strive for excellence, looking for improvements. So having people that might know a little bit more about product marketing, know a little bit about customer insights. So always be very hungry for learning. And I think that really sticks to me until now.
Yeah, I really like that. And a really nice way to bring the whole show together, because I even think that myself, I'm always learning from these awesome conversations with people like yourself. It's awesome to be surrounding yourself in a way that you can always be learning in a different context or have something to learn from someone else, because everybody's different. They all have different experiences. And I think it's really interesting to always be in that mindset to learn and to be able to gain and give at the same time. So I really like that a lot. Thank you so much for joining me on the show today. It was awesome to have you. And I know the listeners will be very excited to hear all your insights and your examples and your strategies. So thank you so much for sharing that with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Retain, the Customer Retention Podcast, is brought to you by Gameball. If you want to turn casual buyers into loyal lifetime customers, make sure to check out the episode description to book a demo with Gameball today. Also, make sure to subscribe to Retain the Customer Retention Podcast in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and you never miss an episode. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.